Like, it's just so ironic because you're so stressed out of your mind, like you're so stressed. Here are all these health issues that you have to deal with and that need time and attention. Hello, you are listening to The Rare Life. I'm your host, Madeline Cheney, and today I have a fascinating conversation with Amanda Griffith-Atkins all about the ways that our bodies are impacted by the chronic stress and trauma, which are a pretty much guaranteed aspect of being parent to a child with medical complexities. Our bodies really take the hit. In this episode, we share specific ways that many of you reported that your bodies were impacted negatively because of the stress, which I think are really sad and really interesting. And Amanda explains what is happening in our bodies systemically, why, and ways we can reduce the negative impact on our health. I also want to note that after recording this episode, I listened to another podcast episode with a sleep expert, and he listed out all the health issues that can arise from chronic lack of quality sleep, and I had an epiphany. As we established back in episode 90, parents of disabled kids are some of the most underslept people out there, and surely lack of sleep and chronic stress are a 1-2 punch to our physical health. So there's food for thought as well. So when I polled the community on Instagram on ways that your physical health has been impacted by stress, oh my gosh, did you deliver? My inbox exploded with messages about this. And it was clear to me that this topic is unfortunately very relevant and hits very close to home. And I want to give a nod to one really tough layer to the health issues we experience as caregivers that came up several times while sifting through the answers, but we actually didn't really talk about in the actual episode at all. And it is this, that many of us don't really know how long our children are going to live. But for many of us, if our children do live into adulthood, that means that we are going to continue being their caregiver, that many of our children are not going to move on, go to college, move out, whatever. We will continue to care for them. And so I think it can add an extra level of anxiety and panic even to feel our bodies really take the hit and to struggle health-wise when we know that we need our bodies. Like, we need them to function and we need them to function well. And unfortunately, our bodies are usually really suffering from the stress and as well as the physical taxation of caring for our children in the way we do. So I just wanted to nod to that since that's kind of the elephant in the room that Amanda and I don't really talk about in the episode. But if you feel that terror and that panic, I see you. Okay, we have Amanda Griffith-Atkins as a guest pretty frequently around here. But in case you're rusty or didn't catch last week's episode, here is the lowdown. Amanda lives in Chicago with her 4 boys, the oldest of which is 14 and has Prader-Willi syndrome. She's also a therapist and runs a counseling clinic. So you can see why she is thebomb.com at talking disability parenting and all of its impacts on us physically and mentally. If you don't follow her on Instagram already, do yourself a favor and follow her. Her posts are relatable to the max. Her handle is at amanda.griffith.atkins. And if it's easier, you can follow the link in the show notes for that. Also in the show notes are all the episodes Amanda and I have done together. So you can binge Amanda if you're new around here. Okay. Amanda is a lover of her bed and laughing with her family. Let's hop in. Hi, Amanda. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you join me in talking about the chronic stress and trauma that we just endure forever as parents of kids with medical issues and what a job that does on our bodies.
It takes a toll.
It's such a fascinating thing. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to like swing big out of the gate here and read off. I asked each of you on Instagram and Amanda did the same thing on our stories, what kind of health issues you've had due to stress. And so a lot of these are things that just cropped up or showed up during really high stress situations. So either like right as your child was diagnosed or started showing signs of having issues, or a big hospitalization that came up, things that are like very clearly like, yes, this was not here before and I've been stressed out of my mind. And here's something that cropped up for me. Like, this list is wild, you guys. Oh my gosh, 1,000 people showed up and answered. You might hear something and be like, oh my gosh, I've noticed that in me too. I thought I had cheap makeup and that's why I had all these rashes break out, or things like that. Or, oh, it must be this thing or that thing. But you might have a moment of clarity of like, oh, you know, that probably is stress.
Yes.
I definitely had that situation when Kimball was little. I was like, oh, my makeup is so cheap. That's why I have this gnarly rash under my eye that looks like I've been punched in the face. And now I'm like, no, Mads, that was like incredible stress.
That was stress. Yes.
Okay. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
I like divided it into sections. We have early / accelerated aging. And so I think that can happen in a lot of different ways. A lot of conditions that are typically from people who are older, right? And being like, you're, you know, 25, why do you have shingles? Or, right. You know, early graying. Someone talked about going through menopause at 31.
The stress impacts our hormones.
Yeah. Yeah. And just pretty much everything, like reading through this list. Mm-hmm. And then skin issues, a lot of skin issues. So really flared up eczema, weird rashes. Like, you know, that's why I experienced bumps that show up out of nowhere. Hives. The specific person was talking about how they break out into hives, like horrible hives every time their child has a hospitalization. Mm. Cold sores, severe acne, constant itching. So those are a few of like the skin issues that come up. Shingles is a huge one. That was actually the reason I even thought to make this episode. It was like a year ago. I talked about my experience with shingles when Kimball was, I think he was a few months old, and it was the height of stress and it was horrible. I was in so much pain. I was so sick. And I was like, this is like the literal worst. And I shared that story like a year ago. And oh my goodness, all the people who said, me too. I had shingles. I have shingles right now. So shingles is definitely one.
Really, shingles isn't something that's like in our age range. Yeah. Right? Isn't it usually something that much older people get generally?
Yeah. Like you see like at the grocery store, whatever, like get your shingles shot if you're over 55 or.
Exactly.
Not young moms.
No. Right.
Yeah. That's a big one. And then chronic pain. This was one that came up a lot. Like I ache all over and not necessarily related to lifting or carrying like physical labor, of just the physical pain that they get because of all the stress. And that can be all over. And then inflammation issues like arthritis and heart issues. So like actually several people, they have developed heart issues. One mom who had such intense chest pain that she thought it was heart issues and ran to the ER, and they were like, you're not having a heart attack. This is like chest pain because of stress. Joint pain. And then another big one, weight changes, right? Like, and I know you saw mm-hmm. that too, where a lot of intense weight changes, right? So either I've never been this thin, or I've never weighed this much, losing or putting on 30, 40, 50 pounds. Sometimes as a result of lifestyle things, like I'm eating a lot more to cope with my emotions of everything that's going on, or I stopped eating, I lost my appetite because of everything going on. But a lot also of just like, I didn't change my lifestyle and I put on 40 pounds. Yeah. And I think that's super interesting. That could even be like a hormonal change because of all the stress, right? Or I had a really intense miscarriage and it doesn't matter what I do. I am like 30 pounds heavier and I don't know that I'll ever lose that. And I'm like,
yeah,
don't know what happened there.
I mean, I've had that problem as well, but I even had the opposite problem. My lowest weight was when Asher was in the hospital having seizures and I just kept having basically anxiety, diarrhea. I just couldn't, anything I ate went right through me because I was so anxious all the time and I didn't want to eat, you know? And so that's the other side of it is like, neither of those options feel like our body's optimal performance at that point, basically.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right after Kimball was born, I've never been that skinny. Like looking at pictures, I'm like, I don't recognize myself.
Oh my gosh. You posted, I think, a picture of you in the questions. And I was like, it didn't look like that was a healthy weight for you.
No, I mean, I lost because I had Kimball and immediately lost all the baby weight. And I have to admit, like, I think culturally it's kind of weird because I was like, oh, I'm so thin.
That's the problem,
it's like
right?
Badge. Yes. Yeah. But then people would make comments like, well, Mads, you're really skinny. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm
just stressed.
Just so stressed, pumping a lot. But that yes. doesn't necessarily yeah, mean right. that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the comments.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Someone was saying that like someone passed away and they lost all this weight and people are like, man, girl, you look so good. What are you doing?
You
know, and it's
gosh,
like my
right.
child is fighting for their life in the hospital right now. That's what's happening. Like this is trauma.
Exactly.
So the comments are like, man, you need to lose weight. Like I feel like the weight thing is a big one because
oh, yeah.
it's something people see and they love to comment on and it's never appropriate.
Yep.
But especially when it's trauma induced or stress induced, like.
That's right. At that point, you have so many other things that you're trying to focus on, your child's health, your child's life, and for people to be turning it back to what your body looks like, whether it's bigger or smaller, it doesn't matter. People's comments are just so unnecessary and just makes you feel like you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my kid's struggling and now people are commenting on my body too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the weight thing is a whole thing that so many of us have struggled with.
Yeah. And like one sweet mom, when she was sharing how she, you know, weighs more now than she ever has before. And she was like, I don't fit in any of my clothes and I cannot afford to buy anymore. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
my gosh, the catch 22 of like, a lot of us will gain a lot of weight from all the stress.
Yeah.
And we're spending all of the money we have and all the money we don't have on paying for all the medical expenses.
Yes.
That's just such a horrible place to be in. Like, how awful.
It is. And we feel like we don't have time to exercise or time to meal plan. Just feeling like our child takes up every ounce of our energy. And like, I want to encourage listeners and parents to like do whatever we can do to prioritize time to take care of your body. That doesn't necessarily mean losing weight.
Mm.
All of these things that we're talking about today are a reflection of the fact that we don't have time to care for ourselves in the way that we need to when we're in these positions of dealing with chronic stress. And so I think it's important to try and change that narrative a little bit and remind ourselves that like we deserve time. We deserve 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, if we can find it, to try and be like, no, this is my time where I go for a walk or I, whatever, something that brings you joy, some type of joyful movement.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think there's also like the issue of like bandwidth as far as emotional bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're like really depressed or really anxious and you do have 15 minutes, sometimes that's like the last thing you want to do. Like you want fatty, greasy
gosh, yes.
food. You want ice cream. You want TV,
yep.
right? Like those are the things that we want.
Yes.
So it's also
yes.
like no wonder, you know,
yeah.
that's how we cope a lot of times.
That's right.
And another thing too that comes up with this is like going to the doctor. Like a lot of these are really intense
oh, yeah.
health issues. And a lot of parents talked about too, like I don't have time to like take myself to the doctor. You know, I'm at the doctor all the time with my child. It's easy to just be like, oh, cheap makeup or write it off because you literally don't have the time or bandwidth. But I wish I had some magical solution of poof, here's your time and money to go take care of yourself and go to the appointment.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have felt that way in the past too. Like I have high blood pressure. Some of it's genetic. I also think some of it is from the stress of having a child with a disability. And I'm on medication for it. And when I first got on medication for it, I had to go to the doctor like every week or every month. I can't remember what it was, but I remember being like, I don't have time for this and time to be doing all of this for my kid too.
Mm.
Something's got to give. And you're like, well, I'm not going to cancel my kid's appointment. I'm fine. I would much rather just skip my appointment so that I can have a little more time. But when you're dealing with a chronic health condition, like a lot of the ones that you're talking about, it does require monthly appointments for medication or follow-up or whatever. And that's the last thing that we have time to do because we're already doing that for multiple conditions for our child.
Yeah.
Like
it's just
so
ironic,
because you're so stressed
and out of your mind.
Like you're so stressed.
Here are all these health issues that you
have to deal with
and that need time and attention. I mean, in some ways, one mom was saying that it was a good wake-up call to prioritize herself and like, no, I can't just
mm-hmm.
keep pushing it off because I felt like I was having a heart attack. Like that's a really
yes.
hard thing to ignore. Because I think a lot of this is also like our bodies revolting. Well, when I got shingles, I had fevers. Like I had to lay down. It was like,
yes,
give me rest.
I do think that's true. I definitely think that's true. It's like our bodies are like, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to make you listen
scream.
To me. You have to pay attention to me now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then we're in this for the long haul too. Like this is a marathon. And so
mm-hmm.
we do need our bodies to function. This is not supposed to be like a lecture of like taking care of your body, but yeah. like it is something that needs to happen.
But all of these things are consequences or the result of living in a life that has such high stress. I think it's important to just indicate that it's not something bad that we're doing. It's not anything that we brought on to ourselves. It's a consequence of living a life that's chronically stressful every day over and over and over. Yeah. And yes, there are things that we can do about it. But like we're saying, that takes time, that takes money. I mean, that's always what we come back to, right? Like there's ways that this life can feel more livable and more doable and enjoyable, but it takes resources and it takes time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love how you mentioned too, like with your high blood pressure of like, oh, I think part of it's genetic and another part is like the lifestyle of being so stressed.
Yeah.
And I do remember that's one thing I took away from my college experience was like this health class where they talked about how genetics load the gun and our lifestyle pulls the trigger on various like health issues. Mm. Like in my family, cancer is everywhere. So I'm like, okay, don't yeah. pull that trigger. Like try to be as healthy as you can yeah. with lots of cake and ice cream. And I need to work on that too. Full disclosure. But I think that is also interesting where these all could be too, like things that you're predisposed to, like your body has these genetics and just living this life of chronic, intense stress that hardly anyone experiences. It's going to yes. pull all the triggers, right? You're going to find mm-hmm. all the different health issues that you have in your genetics.
So true. It's so true. It's intense. And we don't have the resources for it most time. I know I don't have the energy for yeah. not feeling well or having to go to the doctor or paying attention to yet another thing.
Yeah, totally. So another really important one of these is eating disorders.
Oh.
So I guess it's more intense version of eating your feelings or not eating, because I know that eating disorders are a whole thing. And if you struggled with it before kids, mm-hmm. I think that could definitely trigger that back. I have several family members that have struggled with that. And they say that a lot of that is feeling like you don't have control, yeah. right? So I could see that being like the perfect storm.
Oh, yeah. So did people respond with binge eating disorders and like restrictive? Did anybody respond in particular with that kind of thing?
Yeah, there were some specific ones. I think binge eating was a big one mm-hmm. and maybe purging too. And I can't remember if anyone was restricting like intentionally. But I don't know. I guess it kind of dances on that line when you're so stressed and you don't have time and you just don't eat. I don't know if that counts yeah. as an eating disorder, but
it definitely could be the beginning of an eating disorder, I think, mm-hmm. too. It's like we said in the beginning, maybe then your weight goes down and then people start to comment, oh, you look so good. You're like, oh, this is something I have control over. This makes me feel like I'm seeing that number go down on the scale. It feels kind of addicting maybe in mm. some ways. I don't know. I could just see how if you have any sense of disordered eating, if you start to notice your weight decreasing from stress, then it might be something that you're like intentionally working towards.
Yeah, totally. And then other like stomach issues, ulcers.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about how they were just like pooping pure blood in the hospital because of all the
oh,
stress.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And you picture what that does too, like on your body, just losing that much blood.
Yeah.
And then another, this one's so sad. So another one said that she had a lot of vomiting because of it. And I don't think it was like eating disorder. She said she would wake up to racing thoughts in the night and then puke. The vomiting and the pumping made her the thinnest she's ever been, and she got so many compliments.
Exactly.
Do you realize yes. what you're complimenting? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. It just makes my heart sink. Yeah. Like, if only people could see what's really going on the inside, you know, to be like, oh, you look so thin, you look great. And then you're like, I'm literally dying right now.
It's like, horrible. Ugh. It's horrible. And then another one, really intense reflux. A lot of people talked about that. And then menstrual issues, right? Which I think that those are pretty sensitive to high stress. So like worsened PMS symptoms, heavier bleeding, irregular. Uh-huh. Someone talked about a uterine prolapse, plummeted progesterone from constant high cortisol.
Yeah, right.
And then the menopause at 31 years old.
Man.
The hair loss.
Uh-huh.
So many people either losing their hair in huge chunks or completely wow. falling out.
Oh my God.
And doesn't that just break your heart? Like our bodies
yes.
are just revolting. Like we just can't handle this and yet we have to.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. For some reason, the hair loss, that one like really hit.
Because I think it feels embarrassing. People can really notice it. people might make judgment towards it. It just feels like another thing that parents have to carry that feels really confusing.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. And then several parents talked about their teeth falling out.
Oh, that's terrifying.
And she went to the dentist, right? She went to the dentist and they were like, yeah, we see this in moms who've lost their babies. Their teeth just fall out from the stress and trauma.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then other ones were talking about teeth grinding. They broke their teeth because they were grinding so much.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then this one mom said she has tongue thrust so bad from the stress that she pushed her two front teeth forward really far. I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, we're feeling it, right? These are really intense things. Oh, yeah. You got to laugh so you don't cry. Mm. And honestly, I'm kind of wondering where people were talking about chronic pain. Like, oh, I just ache. I think that a lot of that probably is the muscle tightness and soreness that are not related to physical activities, right? Like we were in the hospital and my back is killing me, right? Those knots that you get in your back and your neck.
Because you're sleeping weird or you're like holding so much tension. I know I always hold it up here.
Yeah.
I mean, so much physical work that goes into this.
Yes. There was this one mom, so this is so interesting. She said that she had such intense muscle pain. It was so tight. Mm-hmm. And she went to physical therapy and a massage therapist for 2.5 years, and it wasn't helping. And then she got on anti-anxiety meds, and that helped it. Like, that eased it up.
Yeah.
Right there, you're like, so clearly it is so much stress.
It's deeper than just physical, right? Like, our emotions impact our bodies. That's just the truth.
Yeah. Then there's a little plug for, like, medication. If you need medication.
Don't be ashamed. Exactly.
And then cardiovascular issues, so heart issues, blood pressure issues, gallbladder issues, adrenal gland issues, thyroid issues, a lot of thyroid issues, which I think affects your energy level and your weight gain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, a huge list of these illnesses or diseases that they either had before and it went in remission and then was triggered by this, or they just got, which again is probably some of those genetics in the lifestyle pulling that trigger.
Yeah.
Impetigo, POTS, chronic Lyme disease, strep, which was going on and on for 4 months.
Oh.
Bell's palsy, shingles, which we already talked about, tonsillitis. A lot of these they get when they are at the hospital or when there's like a lot of peaks of stress. Hashimoto's, fibromyalgia, diabetes, autoimmune issues, constantly just getting sick with everything that you can possibly get sick with. Irritable bowel syndrome, hemorrhoids, PCOS, pancreatic disorder, asthma, stage 2, hypertension. I just was jotting these down as people were telling me, again, that were attributed to stress.
Yes.
And then sleep issues.
Oh, yeah.
Insomnia. So that one's a huge one, right? Like so many parents have insomnia.
Oh, yeah.
From the stress. That's probably mostly everyone. And then someone was talking about hallucinations while they were sleeping because of all the stress.
Ugh.
I'm almost done, you guys. This is not like the whole episode. We're not just going to like list these the whole time. It's like, this is the most depressing thing.
It could be,
it could
but we're
be.
Not
if
going
I,
to.
If I read every person's, I got so many responses.
Seriously.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Reading this list, it feels much more like, oh, interesting. Oh, wow. Oh, you know, I feel like it takes some of the punch away from it. But reading in everyone's own words.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it was really hard to read. It was so sad.
Yeah, I know for me too, like with like followers that I interact with frequently, they would pop up and I'd be like, oh my gosh, wow, you struggle with that because of stress. Like it kind of like personalized it to be like, wow, you're a real person and this is majorly impacting your life. It just has so much more meaning when you think of each of these things that we're listing is something that one of our followers has dealt with seriously.
Yeah.
Like it's been a huge part of their life.
Well, and a lot of them several. Because in this big sterile list, it's like, I'm just listing everything that could possibly happen to your body. But these are real things, you know?
Exactly.
The headaches, the migraines and dizziness. That's a big one. Fatigue. That's not necessarily related to the physical, right? Like I think stress, for me, I notice that. Like when I'm stressed, I'm exhausted. One person even said she fell really bad from the weakness. One person said excessive yawning. This is interesting. And she said it's not related to her sleep. Like no matter how much sleep she gets, she's yawning constantly.
I wonder if that's some sort of stress response.
Yeah, maybe. And then memory and executive thinking issues. That was a big one, like the brain fog of stress.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Here's one that is so fascinating and sad. So this one mom, after an intense inpatient stay at the hospital with her child, she lost her vision completely for a week.
Oh my God.
She couldn't drive. She couldn't do anything. She was completely blind. After that week of being blind, she slowly regained it, went to the ophthalmologist, like, what the heck's going on with my eyesight? They couldn't find anything wrong. And the doctors were like, this is stress.
Oh.
She was blind.
Wow.
Oh, the stress.
How scary that must have been for her.
Yeah. I mean, traumatic.
Because you don't know, is it ever going to come back?
Or like, is this cancer? Like, I feel like that's where my brain always goes. Is this cancer? Like,
right. Yeah. So scary.
Oh, yeah. And then like one thing that we're not super going into this time, just because that could be its whole episode. I did ask listeners for mental health issues and there were a lot, right? And they were kind of the same things over and over, like the PTSD, the depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, and not trying to like minimize those. But I guess we've just chosen to focus on the physical.
More like chronic health conditions.
The number it does on our bodies. I feel like that's something I wasn't aware of.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't think about it.
Yeah, because I think there is a lot of talk about the mental health issues. You can Google disability parenting and anxiety and find articles on it and stuff. I think that it's more of a mystery how stress impacts our body. I think we don't often think that way in American culture. We're thinking about the emotions behind it, the way we feel, but the thought of like stress could be causing me to feel pain in my back or well, the things that you just said, basically, like stress can be causing that. I feel like we don't think that way as often.
Yeah. And again, like I think it's easy for us to miss. Like this one mom was talking about how she got shingles right before this big trip that they were taking with their child. And she was so stressed about it. And she didn't put it together until her sister was like, oh, it's probably stress.
In that case, it's really interesting, too, because we see that happen a lot. Where somebody's about to take a break from work, take a vacation, and then they finally get sick. And that's because their body is finally like, oh, I'm allowed to do this now. Finally, I have a minute where I can catch my breath. It's time to get sick now because I can finally let all this stuff go a little bit.
Yeah. You're finally out of that peak fight or flight mode.
Yeah. So like, for example, when we're in a state of chronic stress a lot, different parts of our functioning actually shut down to try and help us have more attention for like our racing heart or the hormonal increases that come from living in a state of stress. And so one of those systems that shuts down is our immune system and our digestive system. Both of those are slightly suppressed when we're in a state of high stress because it allows our system to focus on the more pressing issues such as cardiovascular and hormonal systems, right? And so you'll notice that when you're coming off a state of high stress, that's when you're going to get sick. That's when you might struggle with digestive problems because your digestive system literally has been functioning at a lower level. Say if your kid's in inpatient for a week, your immune system and digestive system are actually functioning at a lower level than normal. It's something that's helpful, right? Because your heart's beating faster, so your blood's pumping. Your body can't work on overdrive on all the systems. So there's certain systems that are actually shut down or like running at decreased speed. So it makes sense that you're having all these problems when we're coming off of stress because your body's like, hey, I can't do it all. Some things have to shut down a little bit.
Yeah, which is so, so sad. This episode is sad.
Sad.
This is horrible.
It is sad. I know.
And I think it's interesting because I would guess that a lot of these issues too do happen a little bit delayed from the really high stress thing that happens, right?
That's right.
We just got discharged from the hospital and now my body is falling apart. I go blind or my teeth fell out. Like, I know that that's usually I'd get home from the hospital and just process it all. And it was a lot harder to be home right after the hospital than it was to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because after that, you're dealing with the reality of it. Your body is going 100 miles an hour when you're in the hospital. Like, you are on fight or flight. You've got all those hormones doing exactly what they need to be doing, which is like getting you through, you know, adrenaline, cortisol, all that stuff. But when all that stuff crashes, you're just like a wet noodle at that point, you know, and you're just like, what just happened to me? And now I have to go back to real life where I have to like make dinner and go put gas in my car.
Snap out, right? Like, awesome. We're home. Let's be grateful. Back at it. Which I think that's probably like one of the biggest helpful things, right? For parents to be like, expect to crash when you get home.
Yes.
Depending on how traumatic and big it was, it might be a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of detox from that.
Yes. And like to rally your troops at that point too. Like that's when you're like, can people bring us meals? Can somebody come help me? Can somebody just come sit with me and like drink a cup of coffee? Treat yourself as if you've just been inpatient. Treat yourself as if you've just had surgery. After the big event, right, comes the crash. And you have to be really gentle with yourself during that time too.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it does a number on our bodies, but it is cool to picture the stress response that we are capable of having. It is kind of a cool feeling. I actually really like that feeling of like, I am mother, like get my son what he needs. We're going to make it through. We're going to bring him home. That single-mindedness, that focus, that hyper-focus, the adrenaline really, like that feels empowering. And it's a little bit of hardening, so you don't have to really be thinking about how traumatic it is to see them intubate your child, right? You're like, but we have to keep them alive. And then it's after that your humanness really has to like have a say as well. And you have to feel it.
Definitely. It's protective. All these things that you're saying are protective. Like I'm the mom, I'm being productive. I'm like doing something really hard. We're in the right place. We're taking care of business. That all feels really safe or strong, right? But underneath that, I think there's this really vulnerable, scared part that we're really protective of that, I think, in a lot of ways. And that's usually what comes out once you get home. You don't have the monitors or the nurse anymore, you know, constantly monitoring your child. It's just you and your child and like also real life.
One of my favorite quotes, I've quoted it before, but it's been like a year.
Do it again. Do it again.
It's by this mindfulness guru. I don't even remember his name, but it's humans are as tough as war and fragile as flowers. I really like that because I feel like that kind of sums it up.
Yes. I love that. That's so true.
Is there anything else you would add or explain of like, what is stress? And you did mention this, but like, what is happening to our bodies and the importance of completing the stress cycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are great.
It's a professional Amanda hat coming on.
Okay, let me put it on for a minute. I had my mom hat on for a minute. So yeah, stress, it can be anything, noises, smells, or people. It can be external. So like coworkers, traffic, money, or it can be internal, self-criticism, body image, stress about the future, thinking about the future. The actual definition of it is the neurological and physiological shift that happens when you encounter a threat. So it's a shift in both your brain and your body that happens when you face, we can even call it a perceived threat, right? Because a lot of us struggle with PTSD. So something that's not a real threat might actually remind you of a threat, and your body is translating that as actual stress. So anything that causes you to feel heightened heart rate, fear, anxiety, that would be like the feeling of stress. This is taken out of the book Burnout, which I quote a lot, by Emily Nagoski and Amelia Nagoski. And what they explain in the beginning is that many years ago, our stress response actually kept us alive. And it still does to some extent, but it's different now. So back in like, let's say the caveman days, right? You're out, you're hunting, you're out in the wilderness by yourself. And you notice off in the distance, there's a lion. Let's say the lion is starting to creep closer. Oh my gosh, the lion is now chasing me. If I don't run as fast as I possibly can, this lion is going to catch me and I'm done. So what do? You run. As you're running, your stress response is starting to work in your favor, right? So your nervous system releases a flood of hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, and your body is like in action. Your heart is beating faster, your muscles tighten, your blood pressure rises, your breath quickens, your senses become sharper. These are all really adaptive, good things that help us when we're running from a lion, right? And like I said earlier, in this time, your digestion and immune system start to slow down in order to prioritize all this other stuff. So you're running, right? You're doing exactly what your body needs to do in this moment. And this entire response has one goal, and that is to move oxygen and fuel into our muscles so that we can run faster. From a biological perspective, this totally makes sense. Our bodies are responding to the stress as a threat to our life and well-being, right? It's not just, oh, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm stressed out. It's, I'm going to die if this lion catches me. So you're running. There's two possible outcomes. The first one, sad, the lion catches us, sad ending, end of story, right? The second outcome is that you outrun the lion and you're headed back to your village. But then you're joined by your community and suddenly you're surrounded by all your people, all your community, and they join you in slaughtering the lion, right? It's like this huge celebration, these stress hormones and everything. They suddenly have a release because you're like, oh my gosh, this is a huge celebration. Now we're going to have a feast. And in that example, you've done something really important. You've actually completed the stress cycle. So the act of like getting with your people, slaughtering the lion, having that completion and resolution actually allows your body to return back to homeostasis, right? It allows you like, I'm safe. I'm with my people. We're sharing a big meal together. We've done this like act of community. Oh, my heart rate is lower. I think I've released some of that cortisol. I'm starting to return back to baseline. I feel really good again, right? Mm-hmm. And then everything kind of returns back to a sustainable pace. Your digestion starts working. Your immune system kicks up again. All these good things are happening. You're back to normal, right? Put this in the modern day. What does that look like? For some of us, stress might look like traffic, right? We're sitting in traffic. But for us, you and me and our listeners, it could look like your child is having a seizure. Mm-hmm. You got a phone call from the school that there's major behavioral issues and you need to come in immediately. You got some blood work back. It doesn't look very good. You just got the diagnosis, like really bad news on the phone. But our body doesn't know the difference between a lion chasing us and getting our child's diagnosis. Our lizard brain hasn't quite caught up to what is a physical threat to our safety and what's a different kind of threat. I mean, granted, a diagnosis or getting bad blood work back, that could be a physical threat to our child's safety. No doubt about that, right? Mm-hmm. But the need to run for self-protection, that's not what our bodies need in this moment. Right. But our body is kicking all that stuff up into gear as if it is what we need, right? So our body's preparing to run from a lion when what we really probably need to be doing is like sitting down and Googling a diagnosis.
You know what is so fascinating too? One listener said this and then a bunch of people agreed of like the feeling of wanting to physically run out of the room when you're receiving your child's diagnosis. Like, I think there's several episodes actually where they talked about that. I wanted to pick up my child and run as fast and hard as I could away from that doctor as if that would save them somehow.
That's our biological response is like, I'm feeling all these feelings. I need to run. And it feels like I need to protect. I want to take my kid with me. That lion is coming in right now.
This geneticist is the lion. Yes. Stop telling me this about my child.
And I need to take my baby and we need to run away from this lion. So, I mean, that is a very real feeling. So if anybody's feeling that and you're like, why did I feel like? That's because your body was prepping you for what it thought you needed to do. And the problem with this is that we don't need to run from lions. That physical response that our body is creating in response to stress is not really what we need in that moment. And so the question is like, well, then what do we do with that? I'm not running from a lion, but what do I do to complete the stress cycle? Like the example that we gave of the people running from the lion, there was a really clear and obvious way for them to complete the stress cycle. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for us when we actually do get our child's diagnosis or we're stressed about their health or they're just having a bad day and we're like really stuck in the shit of like disability parenting? Like, what does that mean for us? You know,
and even those internal things, right? Like of like, what am I going to do? What if he passes away? How will I handle that? Right? Like stewing.
The thoughts. Absolutely. And so I think the first step is identifying that you're feeling stress. It sounds so simple, but I think a lot of us live in such a state of chronic stress that we just become used to like, my thoughts are racing, my body hurts, my heart rate is a little high, my blood pressure is high. Like some of us are just so used to living in that state of chronic stress that I think it's hard to be like, hey, I'm stressed right now. This is not good. So let's start there, right? So I would encourage anyone who's listening to just take a minute and check in with your body. What are you feeling? How's your stress level today? Can you identify some triggers? I know for me, I just posted on Instagram. I spent the morning dealing with Walgreens and having to call Asher's psychiatrist and having to get meds and blah, blah, blah. And I felt it. I was like, I have got to like do something later today or else I'm going to explode. So take an inventory of what you're feeling and notice your stress level. If you notice that you're feeling stressed, the good news is, and this is all the research in the book, Burnout, is that there's so many ways to complete the stress cycle. Find what works for you. Like what helps you feel like you're getting that release of all that stuff that you've been carrying around. So some of the ways that the authors suggest are positive social interaction, laughter, and not just like the social laughter where we're like, ha ha ha, the like belly laughs that you do with your girlfriends, the laugh that like feels so real. Affection, marriage and family therapist John Gottman says a 6-second kiss, which for me, I'm not like a big kissy person. 6 seconds feels like a little bit too much, but if it releases the stress cycle, let's do it. Crying, creative expression. There's so many ways to do it, but you have to find what works for you. And the number one thing that they say completes the stress cycle is physical activity. So I'm just throwing that out there. You know, what does physical activity look like for me? It might look different for you. This doesn't mean you have to go out and run a mile. It could be dancing. It could be walking. It could be gardening. Mm-hmm. It could be playing with your dog or your kids.
Or like intense cleaning. Remember, that's how I knew my mom was like really mad, because she didn't get mad very often, but when she was mad, I mean, she got those dishes
stress
done.
Stress cleaning. I feel like I've heard so many people talk about stress cleaning. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like think about what type of movement or physical activity makes me feel good. And can I do it for just a few minutes a day?
You mentioned at first, it sounded more of like the social things like laughing or the long kiss or going out with girlfriends. Would it be ideal if you could do that and like getting your heart rate up, or pick which one, but the heart rate getting up does a better job of it?
The way that they say in the book is that you can choose either, but I would say, like, I think in a perfect world, I would love listeners to make a list of the things that we've talked about today: positive social interaction, laughter, affection. We can even post these on Instagram, like the ways to complete the stress cycle, and mess around with it. I know for me, sometimes cleaning and organization really does do the trick. I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. Some days I need that physical release. I need to go run. I need to go to a boxing class or something like that, you know? And so I want people to mess around with it and see what works for them. And so the question is then, how do you know when you've completed the stress cycle, right? Like the reality is you'll just feel better. You're not going to feel perfect, but you're going to feel like back to baseline. Okay, my heart is back where it needs to be. I don't feel frantic. I don't feel like the lion's chasing me anymore. And there's a lot that goes into this. I know it's not that easy.
You know, it's kind of finessed, huh? I'm trying to think of like how you even describe it, kind of that cathartic, like, oh, that felt good.
Like chronic immediate stress, like my stress example this morning of calling around the pharmacy and this and that, like that was very stressful. And I'll know like later today, I'm hoping to go for a walk or get a workout in or something. After I do that, I know I'm going to feel a little more chill and just kind of like, ugh, I needed that. Mm-hmm. Do I still have all my other problems? Yes, but I'm not feeling that rapid heartbeat and stress.
I feel like for me too, it, like high stress manifests in being really high strung. And so I snap at people easier. I'm just not my prime self. Like I'm not proud of things that I keep doing, and usually with relationships with other people. But then after I'm able to do something that somehow helps me like loosen that, I almost picture it like a string, right? It was like really tight before and I loosened it. So now it's a little more floppy. And so I'm not snapping at people like I was before. Like I can kind of roll with the punches a little bit easier.
A little more patience, a little more bandwidth. That's what you're saying. I think that totally makes sense. Yes.
I feel like most people listening right now be like, I feel the stress response every day, if not all day.
Absolutely.
And so hopefully you can find ways to complete that every day if you can, or at least as often as possible.
I think the reality is for disability parents, our lives are stressful every day. I don't think that that's an overstatement. Every day there's multiple incidents that happen that feel really heightened stressfully.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would say, yeah, it's not unrealistic to say, yeah, you might need to complete your stress cycle every day. And figuring out what does that look like for you? Physical touch or laughing, picking up the phone and calling your best friend. The bottom line is we're talking about integrating good things into our life on a daily basis. It's like at the end of the day, I think the equation is if you are trying to do positive things that decrease your stress level, you're going to feel better in the long run, right? It's like that simple.
Yeah. And your body will have fewer health issues, like all the ones we listed.
Exactly. So the interesting thing in all of this is that for a lot of people, the most difficult thing about completing the stress cycle is that it requires us to stop dealing with the stress step away from the situation and start to notice what's going on in our bodies. So that's what I was saying earlier when I was talking about the importance of self-awareness around this. And I'll say that again, because I think this part is so important, that the most difficult thing for most people in completing the stress cycle is that it requires us to stop dealing with a stressor, step away from the situation, and start paying attention to what's happening in our bodies, right? Thinking about us, ourselves.
And that's going to obviously take different forms, right? Like if your child is seizing, you can't be like, sorry, child, I need to go for a run. But it would look like later when you're like, wow, that was horrible. You know, your child's safely in bed or whatever it is. And be like, now instead of vegging out from the TV, like I really, really want to, I'll do that after I clean furiously for 10 minutes. And I just, oh, I feel aggressive and I'm getting it out and calling a friend or whatever it is.
That's right. Because when your child's having a seizure, that is the same as the lion chasing you. Yeah. That's not the time for probably not the time for self-care. I don't know that anyone can really be mindful of that kind of thing when you're like, oh my gosh, is my child going to die right now? Everything takes over. You're so deep in the stress response at that point that you're just trying to calm the situation a little.
You're doing, right? Yeah, you kick into it, which again, I think is sad we have to be in that state, but it's kind of cool, right? It's kind of cool when a parent does all the nursey doctor things that you never went to school for to save your child, to keep them alive.
Yes. And like, we have to honor the strength in that. And like, I think also express gratitude for the fact that my heart rate increases, my senses are a little more in tune. I have gratitude for the way that my body works in that moment, but I don't need my body to be working that way 24 hours afterwards.
Yeah. When you are hopefully like after it's all said and done and you're back to safety again and you are maybe going for the run or dancing it out or kissing your spouse for 6 seconds, whatever. Like, I feel like it could be like also sort of like a celebratory thing, even though it's like, oh, like, and maybe you don't always feel the celebratory feeling, right? Maybe it's just sadness or anger, but it might sometimes be like, oh, we got out of that hospitalization and my child is safe and like we get him longer. That feeling of that cathartic, like a lot of emotions in it, but there could be some celebration feelings in there.
Absolutely. And like pride, I'm so proud of the way I called 911 so quickly. I got my child to a safe space. Even something as simple this morning as having to deal with the pharmacy. Afterwards, I was like, that's right. I was like, badass of me. I called around. I called the psychiatrist. Like, I took care of business. And, you know, it felt like, I can do that. I know what I'm doing. We have to also honor our reactions and the amount of things that a disability parent can accomplish in a day. I mean, we could run the world.
It's true. There is like so much pride in that. Like, that is the flip side of it. And also just, I think part of that for me is like the strengthening of that sense of identity, right? Like, and we've talked about this in episode 85 about like the ways that having a child with medical complexities and disabilities like affects our identity. We kind of identify with that. I mean, how could you not? The way it affects us every day, all day. And I feel like on the cusp of like, oh, I just changed out my child's G-tube, you know, on the fly. And man, that was so much easier than when I first learned how to do that. Or like, I'm just a pro and I can like teach people. You do feel like the sense of identity, which also leads to like this community, right? You're like, yeah, like these are my people. And I'm a part of this group of people who can do these things that most parents have no clue what they even are, let alone how to do them. And so I think that feels really good to have that identity kind of strengthened.
What I love about this is that we're talking about chronic stress and how it impacts our body, but the conversation very quickly shifted into resilience, you know, because that's what we're talking about now. We shifted into being like, yeah, but look at this and look at the things that we've accomplished and finding some sort of identity in that. And I think that that is a key part to managing chronic stress is resilience and being able to try and look at it from a different lens and being like, I can handle this. Like, yes, this takes a toll on me, but I am going to try my hardest to like battle against it and take care of myself, do some of these skills that we talked about today. Like that mindset shifts us from being a victim to being like, okay, this is hard, but I'm going to try my hardest and I think I can do this. And which feels more like resilience, which is so empowering, you know?
Yeah. Like I outran this line before. I can do it again. And the first time I was like freaked out of my mind, like there's no way I can do this. And then I did something I did not think was humanly possible. And I think that's what we kind of prove to ourselves over and over again is we do the things that don't feel humanly possible, because they're kind of not. I mean, like, they are possible, but like, they're kind of everyone's worst nightmare, the things we have to do and live with. And so I think that feels really good too, to have this repertoire of like, you're building up that self-confidence of like, yes, I can. This thing that feels impossible, well, I've done those other things that felt impossible. And so I'll buckle down and I'll survive it because I have no other choice, right? Like, my child is depending on me getting through this again. And so whatever that looks like, right? That's not always like, I'm changing that trach and I feel grateful and wow, that was awesome. I'm going to go dance it out now. Like, you know, that might be trying to get yourself out of bed while you're dealing with intense trauma and stress, but you're still here.
Yeah. And giving yourself self-compassion and reminding yourself that like, wow, changing that trach was really scary. And yeah. I hope I don't have to do it again anytime soon, but you know what? I did it pretty well. And now I'm going to give myself some space to like release some stress because that was really scary. So it's like All this stuff, resilience, pride, identity, stress, all this stuff exists at the same time, you know, grief. Oh yeah. And trying to honor each of these experiences and not let the hard stuff like consume us. Mm-hmm. It's not hopeless.
Yeah. Kind of going back to that theme of like, we are tough as war and we are fragile as flowers. And so, yeah, like leaving space for all the things. So I guess just to like wrap it up, there's this quote of a message that someone sent me and she gave me permission to share anonymously. It goes really well with like the whole theme of the chronic stress, how that affects our bodies. But she said, I love my son. I couldn't imagine anything else. But the laundry list of what this has done to me physically and mentally is beyond anything I ever imagined.
Yes. Same, girl. Same.
Yeah. And so here's a solidarity of like, yes, like silver linings. And we feel so good about ourselves sometimes of like, oh, I did the hard thing. And it feels great to complete the stress cycle if you can manage that. But at the end of the day, right, like here's the solidarity of like, our bodies get trashed, our minds take the hit too. And here we are, right? We're still here. And there's lots of people struggling with that right alongside you.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from this is that first and foremost, stress impacts our bodies. Like, I hope nobody is invalidating that in themselves. If you're feeling things and your life is stressful, there is likely a correlation between those two things. So just acknowledging like stress has taken a toll on me and it's really hard and it impacts me. And then the second part is that like, well, we're not totally powerless in that. There is hope. You can start to make space for yourself and claim back little pieces of your identity. And we're not destined to suffer. It is hard, but also there are things that we can do to try and take care of ourselves too.
I really, really like that. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I feel like this was such an important conversation. It's one that so many people are dealing with, but it's not really talked about that much. And I know that, you know, it's really going to resonate. And I hope that people, as always, hop on to Instagram where we're pretty active and add your thoughts and things that we missed. This is such a big part of so many people's lives. And so share what your thoughts are and things that you would love to add.
Also share if you're into the 6-second kiss, because I need to know that I'm not the only one who's not into it. Okay.
And like record it, right? Like, here it is. We'll share it all over social media.
No.
Instagram live.
That's your thing. I'm not joining.
All right. Thanks so much, Amanda. Those of you who listened to Amanda and my very first episode together about health anxiety may have recognized her reference to the stress cycle. If you haven't listened to that one, I highly recommend it. It's very related to today's topic. It is episode 81, and a link to that is in the show notes. We also have links to connect with Amanda and me on social media, to episode 85 about our identity as parents being very closely tied in with our kids' disabilities, as mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to the book Amanda cited called Burnout. A huge thank you to my fantastic team who makes this episode and every other one of them possible. including Alyssa Newtile, who handles all the post-production, social media content creation, and is my wingwoman. You are a dream. Also to Justin, who shares my last name and my kiddos, for handling the website and all my tech issues that arise, and for being so very patient with my frustration. Thank you to our rockstar board of directors, including Amanda and Brittany Stites, who helps us get the funding needed to keep on keeping on with this important content. Which also leads to a big thank you to everyone who has contributed monetarily to the cause, whether a large corporate donor or $5 from a listener. Every dollar counts and means the world to us. If you want to join that population of donors, tap the link in the show notes or go to therarelifepodcast.com/donate. We are a nonprofit charity now, so you can even get a nice little tax write-off for your contribution. I'm also so grateful to all of you who have helped to get the word out there about the podcast and tell others about it. You never know who desperately needs this type of solidarity. The intro and outro music is by Josh Woodward, and cover art is by Huey Ann Photo and Lorianne War. Thank you, thank you. Okay, join us next week for yet another episode with Amanda Griffith-Atkins, this time all about self-care for parents of disabled kids, not in a cringy, add impossible things to your already overflowing to-do list kind of way, but commentary about the inaccessibility of self-care to us as parents and little teeny tiny ways we can show ourselves just a little bit of love amidst all the things. Don't miss it. See you then.